Hello, hello, hello. This is Kiss and Tell. Hi, guys. Today you have your favorite dating coach, Kim, and your co-host, Evan the Great, to talk about another episode of HBO Girls. Today I feel blessed again because I have another friend of mine coming in. You may know her as Twee. She's been blogging on the first season of Girls on my blog, and she's been, you know, providing some female opinion on the whole show. And for the first time, she's graced us with her, you know, presence and her cute little voice to add her own insight on what girls think about the whole show. And let me tell you, season two starts with a bang. Now, before I talk about this, you know, what do you think about the show, Evan, so far?
After the first episode, I was a little uncomfortable. I mean, we're so used to things being the way they were after season one, and she shook it up. Lena Dunham shook it up a little bit. So I don't know. Sometimes change is difficult for me. I'll deal. But you know, I was definitely a little thrown off.
Okay. And personally, I think that she did a great job about shifting it up. But at the same time, just like you, I'm not quite sure how I enjoy it. I enjoyed it because there was a lot of twists and turns, but I feel like we almost pressed a reset button this season so far. I feel like a lot of the characters made a whole 180 degrees on who we know they are.
Yeah. I feel like this is kind of jumping forward in time a little bit, and I kind of wish we got to see what was going on in that interim period. Maybe in future episodes there'll be some flashback to that interim time, but between season one and season two. But we took a leap, no question about it.
Yeah, like to me, I feel like, especially Hannah and Marnie, right? Obviously, we all know that they moved out of each other, but I feel like they switched place. Hannah now has a stable job. She now has a house. She has a boyfriend, even two boyfriends now. And she's pretty happy with herself. Whereas Marnie's on the opposite end. She just lost her job. She has no boyfriend, and she's trying to figure herself out.
Yeah.
Now, which is really interesting, but
and I think that's good. I mean, I think we're going to, because Hannah and Marnie are different people, and so we hopefully will get to see how each of those characters deal with those similar sets of circumstance in their own unique way.
Exactly. Now, Twee, what was your take so far on the episode?
I thought it was, it was quite a change to see, like, Hannah, and then all of a sudden you see her, like, naked with a black guy. That was a total shock.
What, you can't imagine her falling for a black guy?
No, I've fallen for a few.
Fallen on a few.
Yeah, like, accidentally right on their, trophy. But she was right on, she was quite saddling up on there, which was quite interesting to see, like, her totally embracing herself, her body, and like, as opposed to her relationship with Adam like took the whole control of the whole, whenever they're having sex, he took everything under control, and she was the one like, okay, do whatever you want with me, you know, you want anal sex, okay, fine. Whereas she was like totally like taking this guy by the, you know, the hips and ass, like, I want you, I want to fuck you, like, and it seems like she's trying to take control of her life too.
I think that's actually good for women out there when they watch the show to see a woman who really embraces their sexuality. I think a lot of women, I mean, I hate to say it, but no guy likes a potato sack in the bedroom. And I don't mean like, you know, being big, but basically like just laying there and just waiting for things to happen to them. But so, but before we go into that, what I really want to do with this episode, at least, really go down and review every single character that we have so far on the show. Because, as I said, in this first episode, they kind of change a lot of the behavior. So let's first talk about Hannah. The first thing that surprises me, besides the fact that she's very embracing her sexuality, is how quickly she moved on from Adam. I mean, here we had the entire first season was all about her quest to win the love and the attention of this guy who's, you know, arguably maybe not the best for her. but who eventually, by the end of the season, actually falls in love with her, right? And isn't that what all women want? They all want a guy who more or less treasure them, cherish them, value them, and part of me really roots for Adam, even though he was pretty much of a dick the first half of the first season. You know, I rooted for him because I'm like, you know, the one thing I liked about him is he had boundaries. He knew how to set the boundaries. He knew how to lead Hannah. He knew how to call her out on many occasions. And in some ways, he helped her grow a lot. However, on this first episode, we see a total reversal of the roles. Hannah is now wearing the pants. Adam, because of his, you know, cast, is acting like a whiny bitch. But more importantly, because I'm going to stay on Hannah, what I feel like, what's odd is, like, to me, she misinterprets the whole idea of commitment. She's been pursuing this guy so much, and now that he's into her, she thinks that, oh my god, if I get into a committed relationship with him, what does that mean about me? Am I ready for this? But instead of focusing on, you know, what they have what is good between them, she focuses on this whole selfish notion that, you know what, if I go into this committed relationship with him, that means I have to take care of him. She has this guilt trip about, first of all, getting him run over by a car, but then she misinterprets the idea of commitment. We're like, does that mean I have to take care of the guy that I'm with? So let's open this to discussion. Evan, what's your take on all this?
Well, I know we're focusing on Hannah, but, you know, it is interesting that, you know, what a disability will do to a guy. And so I think it's not surprising that Adam is kind of becoming the whiny bitch, the needy guy, because he frankly he's in a place of need. Let's be honest. He can't piss without help. You know, he needs somebody to run the groceries. And I think it's also interesting because in some sense, the fact that Hannah seems to be the only person who is able to take care of him is somewhat of a consequence of the way that he lived his life before. Kind of no commitments, kind of no, you know, no frills, and didn't really seem to want to let other people into his life, in at least in the way that eventually Hannah was able to crack the shell. You know, it is interesting that Adam doesn't have anybody else to take care of him. I don't know, you know, what necessarily that says, but I think that you know, there's something to be said for being more open with people in because you never know when a time of need is going to come.
You gotta remind me of some of the things I like to tell some of my clients. It's the idea of sharing your love and your deeper inner secrets with anybody, and that all comes back to how people interpret, you know, the value that somebody brings into their lives. A lot of clients at the beginning when they work with me, you know, usually they are kind of shy or they're a little bit introverted, and not necessarily introverted by nature, but because of their social habits, they kind of like on their own, right? And I always push my clients to kind of open up and share more of who they are, about the intimate details, the intimate secrets to more people. And at the beginning, it's very counterintuitive because a lot of people are like, well, I don't want people to judge me, or I don't want people to use that against me and maybe, you know, manipulate me because they know some, you know, vulnerabilities about me. But the one thing I've always pointed out to them is like, you know what? If you share your deepest, darkest secrets with everybody, who can really damage you? Who can really hurt you? Because now you've actually shared with so many people that everybody already knows. So even if they use it against you, it's not going to affect your relationship with everybody else. It only affects your relationship with everybody else if nobody else knows. Whereas if you kind of share everything about you, you know, then you don't place an inordinate amount of importance to this one person. For example, if you only share, you know, like a secret with one person, then you make that one person in your mind very important. Oh my god, I feel so comfortable with that person, you know, I can share all my secrets, I can share all my vulnerabilities, and that person hasn't judged me or done anything negative with me. And that's usually why people fall in love with the person that they share a lot of deep secrets with. However, the problem with that is if that person, for some reason, doesn't necessarily do something bad to you, but leave, then you feel crushed because that very, very important person in your life is now gone. Whereas if you learn over time by being social and by sharing a lot of your intimate secrets to everybody, if one person who you really value, who you really trusted, leaves your life for whatever reason, you still have a lot of other people that can be your support group.
Now, I'm thinking back to the episode last season where Adam was at the party and Hannah started learning things about him that she had really no idea. And in some sense, he was closed off to her, and it seemed like he was more open to other people. So I suppose I might take back a little bit of the idea that Adam wasn't living an open lifestyle. But nonetheless, still, you know, you do have to question, like, why aren't other people there to help him? To help him out. Maybe it is the case that he really wasn't as open with other people as he really should have been. You know, in other words, that he was just as closed off with other people as he was with Hannah. Maybe Hannah was more of an extreme example about that. But or it's the case that, going back to Hannah, that Hannah really is misinterpreting her role and her responsibility here, and is really just operating out of sheer guilt, perhaps exceeding what it is that Adam
is really looking for.
Yeah, he did say that she is the one person that he's opened up to the most ever in life. It's like, have you ever opened up to anyone else more than in your life? And it was Hannah, and so I can see how it comes off as like overly obsessive on her, which could scare a woman, you know, if that's, you know, your whole
Actually, have
focus.
You had a guy obsessed on you like that, Twee?
Obsess over me like that? I try to forget it. I delete his number.
No need to dust off those restraining orders.
I move away and I can,
you know,
erase my tracks.
She changed her number.
But I think it's also like Hannah's interpretation of how all you guys are talking about, you know, she thinks that she has to take care of him. And that's a sign of like her interpretation is it's a codependent relationship, which is not a healthy relationship. And, if you're putting your needs in front of the other person, I mean, sometimes, when it's a really difficult situation, and that person really needs your help, you do help them. But it's not like you have to do that every single time, where the point where you lose yourself and you lose your identity, and you don't know who you are anymore. And I think that's the problem with Hannah is right now she's at that point in her life where she's still trying to figure out herself, and she's losing she doesn't know who she is yet. And so I think that's the fear, that's the real fear that she's having, you know, because when people say, oh, you fall in love and then you just lose yourself, I mean, that sounds so romantic, but in actuality, it's not healthy. When you're in a really healthy relationship, you should actually feel more of being yourself, being more genuine.
Are you sure you're not some kind of psychologist, Twee? Because this is really good. So people listen to this. Anyway, go on.
Well, I just say, it's like if you're in a really good relationship and you two people have a really strong sense of self, they can be their own person, and just, you know, the other person will help you become more of yourself, you know, bring out the best in you, basically.
I like that.
You know, and when you don't put your needs first, when you are basically just there and are so nice that you're doing absolutely everything for that other person, I think it may be a little counterintuitive, but I think it's a natural reaction for that person to question your own self-worth, your own worth, because it almost is like you don't consider yourself to be of any value or importance because you're not putting any emphasis on your own needs.
Wow. I'm loving the comments today. I don't know, but this is what I love about this show, because it digs deep. I mean, I don't know if people notice it, but on the psychology of relationship between people, I mean, right now we're talking about codependency, we're talking about being too nice and not self-respecting yourself enough. So I got to turn it over to the audience and really think about that for a minute. I'm like, when you look at your past relationship, have you actually forgotten to take your own needs into consideration first? when you love somebody, it's very easy to do everything for that other person, but you should never forget to love yourself first. So, you know, I mean, moving away a little bit from the TV show, you know, I got to ask everybody who's listening to this podcast today, like, are you loving yourself enough before you're loving somebody else? If you're loving somebody else more than yourself, you might be doing something that is actually not healthy for you. Not only not healthy for you, but not even healthy for the relationship. And this is what we saw on the TV show today. It's like, okay, Hannah, who used to completely be madly in love with Adam, now uses that same love to turn it against him because she can't self-respect herself. Surprisingly, though, towards the end, she kind of does. She finally wakes up and be like, hey, I don't want to be with you because that's my choice and that's my decision. Now, whether she's doing that under duress, meaning like she's misinterpreting what he really wants and needs, or whether she's actually coming onto her own, that's a total different discussion. But right now, I'm going to leave it on that with Hannah. Let's move on to the next character. Let's talk a little bit about Marnie. I mean, here we have this beautiful, beautiful white girl, who used to be somewhat successful. I mean, she had a stable job. And now, we realize, I mean, we kind of knew from the first season that she wasn't, you know, into the relationship. But now we also realize that maybe she doesn't have a lot of relationship experience at all, let alone dating experience. The crucial scene on the first episode of this season is that when she has lunch with her mom, her mom is talking about, you know, like, oh my God, I'm dating this guy right now, and he's some kind of waiter or something, or caterer. Waiter. Yeah, you know, and, oh, you know, and we have sex all the time. I forgot how she phrased it, but Marnie, immediate reaction, like, mom, gross.
Yeah, her mom says, you know, sometimes you just want a pair of rough hands on you. And then Marnie says, oh, mom, that's disgusting. And the reaction wasn't like, you know, ew, mom, you know, I don't want to hear this. It almost seemed like just a pair of rough hands on you is disgusting. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure I interpreted it like that. I mean, her mom, just hearing that from your parent, I think it's got to be pretty disturbing. I don't know. I mean, it could be both, but I think definitely a part of the ew factor was, mom, I don't want to picture you doing it with somebody else. You're my mom. I came out of you. You know, that's just...
You know, and which is a funny, comment, because you know what? Evan, your parents are still together, so I think that's why you want to avoid it. But my parents are kind of divorced. I've seen them date again, so I actually came around the idea that, you know, it's okay for my mom to be... quote unquote, hooking up if she wants to with somebody else than my dad. And I don't know about Twee's past family history, but if she wants to share, you know, she can.
My family has no real okay. dating history.
So. But see, this is how I interpreted it, very much like Twee. I'm like, Marnie's so prudish that the idea of sex is actually repulsive to her. Mm-hmm. The idea of something that is very animalistic. I'm sure she doesn't mind sex, but then you got to wonder if she actually likes sex. In the first season, she didn't like having sex with Charlie. At first, I thought it was just because she didn't like him. But then in this season, I got to wonder, does she even like sex? Yeah. I mean, she did hook up at the end of last season with that fat boy, but actually, we don't know if they had sex or not. We just know that they made out. But does she even like the sex, or does she even like men? Because if you remember from the first season, she did make out with, what's her name again?
Jessa,
without much remorse or anything like that. But when she thinks about sex with men, especially when she was... on the couch with whatever his name is, a gay guy, you know, and she was like, oh, I could never be a gay man because I don't like blowjobs and anal jobs. And I'm like, well, what does that have to do with being a woman? I mean, you don't have to do that as a woman, except maybe the blowjob part, but, you know. So what's your take, Twee?
I think... her thing is, you know, especially since she, you know, she comes off as very prudish, but also she's very, like, everything has to be perfect, and she's a little, no pun intended, anal. I think maybe her interpretation of sex is, you know, it's more like, you know, the romance and like the softness, and I don't know about that.
Well, she didn't like that in the first season.
She didn't
season.
Like that with Charlie.
She didn't, yeah. But at the same time, it seems like her, you know, she gets a little disgusted with, you know, just raw animality, you know.
So, you know, the funny thing, I got to ask you guys, do you guys think that she masturbated? I mean, she did masturbate on that first season, but that was that one time. But she's so prudish, I got to wonder now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in that first season, that scene was crucial because I think the suggestion was that she doesn't. And that in this instance, she was so turned on that she was doing something that was so uncharacteristic of her, she just had to let it out. But I, you know, you got the sense that that just wasn't a normal occurrence, that she doesn't just like walk herself or run herself to the bathroom all the time to relieve herself.
Yeah, because when it compared to Hannah, which is two completely different characters, Hannah is very, I mean, sometimes she's, you know, not very confident with her body, but she embraced sexuality in all its form, whether she's doing it because she's a little insecure, whether she's doing it so far in this season because she's embracing it. She revels in sexuality. Mm-hmm. Whereas Marnie is the complete opposite. You know, we may, you know, people may think that Shoshana is a prude one, but the more I go into the TV show, I feel like Marnie is a prudish of all of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Shoshana's a prude. She's just inexperienced and doesn't, at least up until the end of last season, didn't quite know how to make it happen for herself. But I think she was fantasizing about it quite a bit. I think that the scene with Marnie and Hannah's roommate was her trying to get out of her shell and her realizing, yeah, wait a minute, I am a bit of a prude, and I need to do something risque. I need to do something spur of the moment. I need to do something spontaneous that real Marnie wouldn't really do.
But, you know, it's kind of funny that you say that, because even though she's trying to do something risque, do you notice how she wouldn't allow herself to be naked? Like, the whole thing, she kept on covering herself. At first, she took off her bra, and then as a gig roommate started to hump her, she kind of covered herself halfway, you know, so...
Well, it's baby steps for her.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't embrace her body as much as Hannah does. I mean, she's a total foil character to Hannah. Like, whereas Hannah doesn't care if she gets messy and dirty. But her, she's like, I think she's still concerned with the way she looks while during sex. And, you know, if her hair is still, you know, all in place and everything. So I think that's probably, you know, the problem that she has. And which a lot of women have, you know, they're afraid of, like, how they look in front of their partners. And really, you know, it's not as attractive when you do that, because, you know, the guy is already into you. It's like, who cares how you look in front of them, you know, when you're all naked. So,
well, Twee, I mean, you being a woman, let me ask you this then. Do you have any suggestions on how to help any woman out there that would be like Marnie? A woman who may enjoy sex but may not be completely comfortable with the idea of sex yet. I mean, have you yourself maybe, you know, learned something, grown a certain way that you would want to share with our audience today?
I think with women, they're like too concerned with like, oh, I need the lights to be turned off so you can't see. Personally, you know, I like lights all on. Maybe that's a little, I'm revealing a lot about my sex life now.
We don't mind. Please go on.
But, you know, it's like, it's, you know, with the guy, it's like he's so focused on having sex, I don't think he's really focused on any of your, you know, cellulite at that moment, or, you know, like, you know? I think he's more worried about keeping it up than that, you know. And, you know, all into, you know, and guys are visual, and, you know, if he's already like attracted to you, you shouldn't really feel like, oh, maybe he's gonna not like, you know, the fat folds in my stomach or whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm sure he's not the perfect body either. So, you know, no one's perfect, and, you know, you just embrace all your imperfections and really focus more on, you know, the emotional connection you have during sex and, like, the enthusiasm, the passion, and, like, guys find that more attractive than, like, oh, she looks so beautiful with their perfect hair and that, you know, I don't think they're too concerned with that.
You know, as a man, I think this is what I would want to tell all the women out there who might be a little bit shy when it comes to sexuality. I would say, you know, it's definitely a comfort level that you need to develop about yourself. Because I think the way you look at yourself is very much how you're going to interact or react to anything sexual. And this may sound very simple, but I would say look at yourself naked more often. You know, a lot of women who is not comfortable with their sexuality is because they don't accept themselves physically, emotionally, and all together, both emotionally and physically. So my first recommendation, and this comes from me actually, you know, I've actually hooked up with a virgin girl before who she didn't know much about her sexuality. And that's what I kind of did. I kind of showed her like, look at how beautiful you're in the mirror. You know, and regardless of whether you're skinny, medium, fat, you know, there's just something very beautiful about the human body. There's something very beautiful about the physicality of your human body. And look at yourself and embrace, you know, the inner beauty that you have. And after you do that, kind of caress yourself. And I don't mean necessarily going down and trying to touch yourself down there and make yourself come, but like, touch your arms. Caress your arms, caress your neck, caress your face, caress every part of your body that you may think is erogenous. Because you'd be surprised that not everything that you feel that would feel good would be related to the genitals. You want to kind of explore that side of your life because it is you too. It's not just the image that you project out there with your clothes and your hair and your makeup, but it's like, what is it about you, just you, naked and vulnerable, and try to learn to embrace and revel and feel strong within that nakedness. Once you can do that with yourself, then maybe you'll feel different about sexuality. And another quick exercise you can do for people who are shy, maybe like sleep naked for a few nights a week, just to see how it feels against the skin. Do you feel differently when you feel the air against your skin, when you feel the fabric of your bed sheets against your skin? For lack of better words, make love to your bed sheets tonight. Now, Evan, anything else you want to add to that?
Full-length mirrors help quite a bit.
Do you have a story here?
I'm just saying.
Closet mirrors.
Closet mirrors.
Closet mirrors. Well, guys, you have it on that. So let's move on to the next character here. Let's move on a little bit onto Adam. I mean, we did touch on a little bit about Adam, so we're not going to go too much into it, I don't think. But for me, Adam was the biggest disappointment. Granted, he was hit by a car, and granted, you know, his ego might have been a little bruised when Hannah, you know, slowly tried to not have him move in. But at the same time, he will have this semi-confident, actually very confident guy, to the jerk level, turned into a little whiny girl. So my question is, what's our prediction for him this season?
I think we have to see how fast his leg is going to recover. I mean, I think there's a lot of value that guys will place on their abilities, and the reality is he's stuck in bed. So I think it's kind of natural that he feels like shit right now, and it doesn't feel like much of a confident person because he can't do any of the things that he prides himself in being able to do, like have amazing sex or
broken leg doesn't stop you from having sex. Come on now. I mean, you may be limited to the kind of positions, but he's a pretty athletic guy. He looks like he can handle, you know, an extra, you know, a one-legged sex session. Like a pirate. Pirate sex tonight.
Not the way he's pissing. I don't think so.
And he missed the mark, too.
So. Yeah, so I disagree with that.
You know, but here's a funny thing to me. He's like, even though he's disabled for a little while and he's stuck in bed, there's a huge shift in the way he interacts with women, because even, you know, I've seen it, you know, I've seen guys who are, you know, going through rough times, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, in Adam's case, physical, but their relationship with their girlfriend strengthens because of it, because the girlfriend recognized that he loves her, and she does things out of her own will to help. And in return, he recognizes how much she cares more for her, so he pays her more attention. And he still leads her as a man. He still seduces her just like a man would normally if he's, you know, going on normal dates with her every week. But here we see that he doesn't even try.
Yeah, but no. Let's remember, Hannah pulled back before he had the injury.
That's true, but they had one fight. I mean, we don't know how long has passed from the end of last season to this one. But I'm almost tempted to say, like, if you like this girl, even though she kind of like pull back a little bit, it's kind of your job to make sure you keep on trying to seduce her and see if she doesn't come back to you. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no question about that.
Yeah, it sounds as though he seemed entitled to, you know, her help. Like, oh, you're my girl, so you gotta help me out and stuff like that. And you know, even then there was one moment, like, you know, she said, you're not being nice to me. And he's like, well, when you're, you know, you love someone, you don't have to be nice to them all the time. I mean, I understand, you know, he's having his, like, a little PMSing period. But still, you know, you can't take
later
it
on,
as...
we'll be talking about a guy's PMS symptoms. Anyway, go on.
You can't, like, you know, when you're in a loving relationship, you shouldn't take it for granted. You know, it should feel like a privilege that your significant other is taking care for you.
Yeah, he's definitely taking it for granted.
And here comes the big story here. I think everybody out there who's actually starting to date, you know, don't take your woman for granted or your man for granted. The truth is, I have to make animal analogies, but relationship is like dog training. When somebody does something good for you or something that you like, it's nice to give a compliment back. Or it's nice, as Twee shares a lot of dating stories with me, but she always said, like, yeah, I felt I dissed the guy that was trying to flirt with me too much, so I gave him a bone. You know? And this is a perfect, you know, word for it. It's like, whether you're man or woman, if your significant other is doing something nice for you, give them a bone. Give them a compliment. Or do something nice back. Or, for lack of a better word, jump their bone, you know, because you like what they did so much and it means so much to you. If you pursue a relationship of encouragement, I mean, I don't know if there's any better words for it, encouragement relationship, where your entire relationship is based on encouraging each other to do things for each other and recognizing each other's effort towards each other all the time, the likelihood of you having a healthy and positive relationship is a lot higher than your average person. Because let's be honest, out there, people are always breaking you. Your boss is breaking you because you're late for work, or your boss telling you like how bad of a job you did, or like advertisements telling you how you are not pretty enough, not athletic enough, not intelligent enough. It's actually nice when the person who is supposed to be closest to you recognizes that you're just fine. And that because you're just fine, you know, I want you to be even more fine by being greater than yourself. So, moving on. I mean, anything else you guys want to add to this? All right. So, let's move on to Shoshana. Okay, Shoshana is this weird character because parts of me love her. There's a certain innocence that Ray mentioned about her, a certain sincerity that is completely appealing to me. She's very little girly. She's a little bit spastic, but it's kind of attractive, at least for her. But at the same time, a few things irks me about her. Like, why the hell does she talk so damn much? Okay? Why the hell does she always blabber, all her voices, all her thoughts out loud? Which I can see why Ray actually might have broken up with her at some point. So, here we go, talking about Shoshana. And, what's your take, guys?
I think that her scenes in this episode were probably some of the most comical, especially in the beginning when she's doing her chant and she's spreading the incense around. And she's and at the very end of her, I wish I had the script in front of me.
To ruin Ray's life.
Yeah, to ruin Ray's life. It's just, it was so like said so innocently, but with such a vitriol at the same time. It was actually, I thought it was very funny.
Twee?
I thought, yeah, she does babble quite a bit, and I think maybe she just doesn't know herself enough to, you know, if you know you have some focus, you won't talk as much.
What do you mean focus?
Well, I mean, yeah, she's inexperienced, and so she, and come on, let's be honest, she's a Jewish New York girl, so.
What's that supposed to mean?
So, yeah, what is that supposed to mean, Evan?
Jewish girls, you know, have a reputation, especially I'm thinking, you know, New Yorkers like to talk, typically, Jewish girls like to talk, typically, so she's New York, and she's Jewish, and so.
So that makes her a double talker.
And so she's a double talker.
Well, that, I just learned something new today. Thanks, Evan. Yeah, I mean, Shoshana, to me, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think she might be the biggest surprise of the season. I think because she has a lot of growing to do, but at the same time, she's learning very quickly from what I gather. It feels like she's going to be learning very quickly. She may not be completely in tune with sexuality, but she seems to embrace it. And the truth is, she still likes Ray. So the one thing I'm gonna say is that I gotta give it to Ray to go for it, because Ray as a guy, I think as a male character, Ray must be my favorite male character so far, because he seems like a decent, upstanding guy. He seems to know what he wants. He's not afraid of liking women sexually, and he shows it. And he also knows when to apologize or when to compliment. In this first episode, he was very quick to say, like, listen, I don't know what happened, you know. I mean, he didn't say in these words, but, you know, like, what the heck are all these emoticons mean, you know? And he's not a girl, so he's like, what the heck, you know?
Even so, for a girl, I mean, that's a little bit much. I mean, I think she has some social... she doesn't know how to interact socially.
Yeah. Right. And but at the same time, when he's around her, he's not afraid of letting her shine, so to speak. I mean, if you notice, he doesn't compliment her for the sake of just getting into her pants. But the way he compliments from the first season to the second season has always been consistent in the sense that he noticed something very unique, very special about her, and he's not afraid of letting it known as it is. You know, it's like, hey, there's something about you, just sincerity or what, I forgot how he phrased it in this first episode, that then I remember why I like you so much. And then even though she dismissed him very quickly, he's like, no, you know, I'm going to show you. And he grabbed her hand, pulled her back, and kissed her. I thought that was hot.
I thought so, too. I mean, that was a great way to shut her up.
And, Twee, maybe you have some advice on how to shut a girl up?
That's one way.
but I mean, there's an imagery that I've heard a lot from other dating gurus and that I've used myself. And this is something I share with all you guys tonight. I mean, today, whenever you're listening to this, is women are like the river. You know, sometimes they're a little chaotic because of their emotions. You know, they do twists and turns, kind of like on the river. And sometimes they are calm, but sometimes it gets very turbulent. But the man is supposed to be like the riverbanks, meaning they're kind of supposed to be a little bit more... I mean, I don't want to be stereotypical and say stable. That's not what I mean. But they want to be strong enough to be able to lead that river flow and still be okay with it. And I kind of like Ray for that, because, you know, he allows Shoshana to be a little emotional from time to time, but he also knows when to be like, you know what, shut up. And he doesn't do that in a very mean-spirited way. He doesn't do that in a, like, I'm disrespecting you kind of way, but he does it in a very, like, loving, caring kind of way. And if any guys are watching this show, I think they should model themselves a little bit after Ray. I mean, we haven't found out about his flaws yet. But so far, I like Ray. I like Ray. Finishing up, let's see. Who else did we not go through? Jessa, I don't think we're going to comment on it. There's nothing much we can comment, at least on this episode, because there was barely one scene where she's being happy with her new husband. Let's talk real quick about the very important scene here. Who did not get turned on by the Marnie and the gay roommate sex scene?
I think that's probably the hottest scene so far in Girls.
Really?
Well, the other hot scene was when with the artist, but I think that was probably the hotter scene.
Okay.
The second, yeah. So,
what do you like about that scene, Twee?
The gay,
I don't remember his name.
Elijah.
Elijah, yeah.
There you go, Elijah. Elijah and Marnie.
It was interesting banter where, you know, he says, oh, you know, you're so hot, you know, that's why you act like a little bitch. And she's all, no, I don't. And there's this, like, tension created. And then, you know.
First of all, Tui, before you continue, should a guy call a girl a bitch?
I've called myself a bitch in front of a guy.
Yeah, but that's different. That's self-deprecating humor.
But no, I wasn't deprecating myself.
But the real question is it allowed or is it okay for a guy to call a woman a bitch?
Well, it's in the context because he says, you know, you're so hot. That's why it's like almost, it's like she's that's why she feels entitled to act like the little bitch. And so it's in a way, it's a compliment.
Okay. What about a whore?
A whore?
Can a guy call a woman a whore?
I don't. Maybe in the bedroom.
Uh-huh. In the bedroom. Evan, what's your take on that?
I think in the context of accusing her of being the sexual predator, calling somebody a bitch, calling a girl a bitch, is very primal. Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is actually I want the guys out there, and I may insult some women on the way, and I apologize if you get offended, but I want guys out there to know that it's okay. I mean, with a lot of the clients I've met, actually I feel like some of the men out there have been pussified. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but being like they've been taught to be like very overly considerate
polite,
to women.
Yeah, very polite.
Overly polite. Mm-hmm. And yes, I am very much in favor of men upholding that gentleman kind of behavior, that courteous behavior that is so appealing to women, the chivalrous behavior. But being gentlemanly, being chivalrous does not mean that you have to be tiptoeing with your words in front of women all the time. You know, it's okay to call it out as it is, and it's okay to someone take it out of context and shock the woman a little bit. And I think that's a big thing that I want guys to notice from this episode, at least, is like, if you're afraid of offending a woman, you will never win her over. You know, there's something that Evan and I talked a lot, you know, last season. I mean, not just on about girls, but the idea of challenging women, the idea of calling it out as it is, the idea of not, you know, showing that you have boundaries and you have self-respect by calling out the woman or by teasing her in a way that makes her think of you in a different way, is very important. Because if a woman feels that you're afraid of her, if she feels that she has power over you, because you're trying to be too nice, she's not gonna fall in love with you. She's not gonna like you because she feels that she can manipulate you. And no woman of their own self-worth will want to sleep with a guy who she can manipulate. I mean, she may sleep with him, but not from that deep craving, like, I like this guy. It's more like, oh, I'm gonna use him. And this is, I guess, a little warning for guys. Like, do you guys want to be used? No, nobody does. So in this context, you know, I want to let guys know out there that it's okay occasionally to call it out as it is. Doesn't mean that you call a girl a bitch necessarily. But at least in HBO Girls, in this scene, it was obviously a compliment. It was obviously a way to shock her. It was obviously a way to build sexual tension. And with that intention in mind, I think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think done in the right way and in the right context, it's a huge charge. Because it's typically not said by most guys, and it's typically unexpected. Most girls typically don't expect to hear somebody call them a bitch.
And in some ways, I think some women are wanting to feel that raw masculine strength. And sometimes they may, you know, yell at you, or they may push you around a little bit to see, like, hey, are you going to stand up for yourself or what? Because if you can stand up for yourself in front of her, she knows that you're probably not going to stand up for her in front of other people. And I think that's why, you know, this scene to me was so hot as well, is because I felt like Moni is so pretty that she needs to be challenged. Like, shut up, you're such a little bitch. But he said in a very playful manner, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I'm not a bitch. You know, I'm like, you're such a bitch. And that appeals to that raw animalistic side of her. Like, yeah, you know, there's something very raw about me that men, my other men might not see. And when Elijah called her out on it, it kind of turned her on.
Yeah, and made her into a bitch in that context. You know, she started, like, you know, grabbing him. Well, he grabbed her, and then she grabbed back. And so it was, it allowed her to be more raw.
Now, just as a real quick note, if somebody was to call themselves a bitch or even a whore, for lack of, you know, I think there's some very specific times that you should do, though. I think it only should be done in the sexual context. Most of the time, these words take a different meaning if it's done in the bedroom, as Evan mentioned earlier.
Well, you know, it doesn't only have to be in the bedroom. I mean,
it doesn't have to be in the bedroom, but in the context of sexuality.
In the context of sexuality. But, that's determined by your tone and your body language.
And the timing.
And the timing and your eye contact. But, I mean, you really could do it at any time. I mean, you could do it over dinner when, you know, she's tempting you with her food or something like that. Or, you know, the idea is to frame it as she's being the temptress and you calling her a bitch for that reason.
And a little secret for a lot of you guys, I use that a lot, actually. The framing the woman as a temptress, a seductress, the one who wants it more than you do.
Like, fuck you for turning me on so much. I mean, that's the attitude behind it.
Yeah, I've used that a lot in my dating life, and the truth is it works very, 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 very well. A lot of, you know, because, you know, this is strictly for men, and for women who's listening to this, maybe you're learning a secret from the guy side here, but women are not used to being the temptress. They're used to being defending against the advances of men, right? And I learned this trick, so to speak, from women themselves, because I watch how they interact. Women, the real seductress, always frame it as the man wants it more, so they give the affection piecemeal. You know, because the man, they already know that the man always want it. So the way they interact and time, people are like, oh, come on, do you really want that? You know, and they play it off. Sometimes they give in. Sometimes they, you know, they play coy, but then they give in a bit further, and then they play coy. And I learned that very behavior from women by watching what they do. And so I applied that very same behavior into my own dating life. So I took on the attitude like, women want me. Women wants to sleep with me. Not because I'm so godly, you know, specimen of man by any means. You know, I'm just a decent, you know, looking guy. I'm decently nice. I'm self-respecting. But I took the attitude is like, women that talk to me like me. Now, do they want to sleep with me? I mean, I'd like that, but I train my mind to think that. Now, whether it's true or not is not in question here, but it's the attitude you take when you meet people. You take the attitude that everybody likes you. You take the attitude that everybody wants you and everybody should want to sleep with you. And when you take on that attitude and then you kind of call her a temptress, and then you tease her and flirt with her. Do you always, you know, are you always this forward with guys? you know, or like, hey, come on, I'm not the piece of meat like that. You know, flirt like that a little bit. You know, girls tend to giggle because it's not a role they're used to have. And because they're not, you place them in that role, there's no defense that they need to use for you. They're not in the defensive position. So it actually encourages you to kind of explore the relationship together, explore the sexual tension in between each other. So, you know, the quick tip of this week for the guys, like, take on that attitude. Can you go out tonight and be like, hey, I'm kind of cool. I'm kind of the hot guy you want tonight. You know, like, why are you touching me like that? Hey, don't hit me like that. You know, it hurts. Girls do that. Use the, you know, if you think about all the datings experiences you've had and girls use that, why are you touching me? Stop touching me. That's what girls say. Use those same lines and see how women react back to you. You'd be surprised that when you use the very same weapon that women use on you, women have no ways to react to you other than being positive to you. Tweet?
I completely agree. I mean, I think I've used some of those things on guys.
So, on that, I think we had a lot of tips today.
Yeah.
You know, so far the season two is starting with a bang. You know, there's a lot of reversal of roles, but it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen to each of these characters, because in the end, we also saw Charlie, actually. I forgot to mention Charlie. But Charlie in this episode seems to turn out a bit of a bad boy himself. Maybe not in behavior, but if you look at the way he looks now, he's different.
The look is different. I think the behavior is kind of the same.
I mean, he was waiting at the bathroom door for his girl to come out, and he didn't need to. I mean, she could care, you know, take care of herself 10 feet away. I mean,
and then when she gave him the verbal lashing for doing so, he kind of cowered again. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, maybe he's starting to adopt some elements of dominance, and maybe the outside is going to work its way into the inside. I think we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, clearly it looked like the girl had the hand in the relationship. You know, she was in control of how it was.
Very good. Yeah. Well, guys, I want to thank Twee specifically today for coming out again. I mean, she's usually busy, so she usually can't come out. I'm sure she'll keep on doing those girls' perspective on HBO Girls, but I'm very lucky that she got to be on the air today, so thank you, Twee.
You're welcome. It feels very nice to be sandwiched between two hot guys.
Oh, boy, look at that. She's flirting with us on the air. What are you doing after this, Twee?
Sorry, I actually have a date.
Oh, damn. That
but I'll
stinks.
Put you on my list.
Always hate it when girls do that.
Oh, don't we? Man, Evan, who should have the first go at Tweet?
The end of the show, the end of the show cutaway.
Well, there's time in between now and the date, so you want to squeeze something in.
That's the music coming on.
Well, guys,
it's a cue to be under the table.
Well, guys, we're going to cut it off right here. I think I'm going to get busy with Twee right after this. Come back next week for another take on HBO Girls Season 2. And look out for more blogs if I have time as well for a few more tips. On that, have a great week and enjoy going out.